A lot of what I understand about Judaism and religion in general comes from repeated childhood viewings of the film version of Jesus Christ Superstar. For some reason, that movie was always on when I was a kid, and I watched it a lot. I loved the Jews in particular, with their deep voices and enormous black hats that looked like beetle thoraxes. Yeah, I got that the Jews were kind of the bad guys in the film, but I also thought they were the most interesting characters. I mean, to me, they were cool. The bad guys are always cooler anyway, right? Anyway, the point is, I went to Hebrew school, had a bar mitzvah, I make a pretty mean brisket on occasion. I gesticulate a lot. But I really know very little about Judaism. So this podcast is a way of helping me and you, listener, and you know who you are, or do you, ask some big questions about what it means to be Jewish. And some small questions, too. So welcome to the Kibbutz. First, I should quickly explain who I am. I'm Dan Crane. I'm a freelance journalist, and I write about culture and travel for the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Slate, California Sunday, lots of other places. I'm a musician, and some of my music will be featured on the show. And I'm a retired competitive air guitarist. Yes, that is true. Now, what is air guitar? Well, it's a lot like God, actually. It's something you can't see, but if you have faith and believe in it hard enough, you might just find yourself on stage in Finland wearing a spandex unitard playing an invisible guitar in front of thousands of people. Second, I should point out that you don't have to believe in God or air guitar or even be Jewish to listen to the Kibbutz. This is not a preachy podcast. It's about asking interesting questions, because the one thing I've learned about Jews is that we love asking questions. Like, hey, are you going to finish that pastrami sandwich? Because I will take care of it for you. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Why is this podcast different from all other podcasts? Well, first of all, we're not sponsored by Squarespace. At least, not yet. Also, this is not another one of those long interview shows. We're all about short and sweet. In our debut episode, for example, the very one to which you are listening now, Moshe and David Kasher, a comedian and a rabbi, will debate the origins and the point of Hanukkah. I'll ask Michael Wexler of the famed Wexler's Deli in Los Angeles how to make the perfect latke. Comedians Rana and Beverly will ask for advice. In our ongoing segment, A Kid Walks Into a Bar, twin comedians the Sklar Brothers will tell us about their dual bar mitzvah. And my 95-year-old Nana will tell you some jokes. This is an action-packed episode. We'd love to get your feedback. If you make it to the end of the podcast, we'll tell you how to contact us with your comments. Now that is what I call an incentive, people. Before we start, I should mention that we are a project of Reboot, an organization founded 14 years ago which affirms the value of Jewish traditions and creates new ways for people to make them their own through intimate and community events, gatherings, and exhibitions, along with recordings, books, films, and a wide variety of digital participation programs and tools, like podcasts, that engage hundreds of thousands annually in kindling connections to reimagine Jewish lives full of meaning, creativity, and joy. For more info, please visit rebooters.net. And now, the Kibbutz, a project of Reboot. Who better to answer the Hanukkah question than a rabbi and a comedian? And get this, they're brothers. I know. It's like a setup waiting for a punchline. This is Kasher versus Kasher. It is an honor here to have a David Kasher, a rabbi.
I'm a
and,
rabbi.
An actual rabbi, and his brother, Moshe Kasher, who's a comedian. Thanks for stopping by, you guys. Thanks for stopping by the Kibbutz.
Good to be here.
What's up?
First of all, I want to talk about Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Is it important, or is it just a, you know, kind of a gimmick holiday that we have because we were sad that we didn't have Christmas? What's the biblical origin of it, if there is any?
It's not a biblical holiday at all. It's not in the Bible. There's you know, the famous ones, Passover, Rosh Hashanah, that kind of stuff. There's five major holidays in the Bible.
And they're in there.
Hanukkah's not in there.
Yeah.
Hanukkah, and not even if you turn to Talmud, which is the second big book in Judaism, Hanukkah's in there, but like not much. I mean, it's really you know, what's a big holiday in Judaism is like Shavuot, a holiday nobody's heard
of. Ooh, I love,
love that one. No, but that's like, that's actually technically a huge holiday, whereas Hanukkah is like not,
Let me ask you this. Why is it then that Walmart doesn't do Shavuot sections?
I've always wondered that. Like, where's...
Because I feel like there's a war on Shavuot.
There absolutely is.
Like, it used to be that you would go into a Walmart and they would say,
"Happy
Chag Sameach, enjoy your Shavuot," you know? Yeah. But now they're just like, it's like they don't even know Shavuot
well,
exists.
You know what the English word for Shavuot is? Like, the Christian version of it is Pentecost. So we could...
Oh, actually, if you go deep enough into Walmart, there is somebody that's Pentecostal and will wish you a happy Pentecost.
Yeah. So that's out there. Yeah. That's out there. But anyway, Hanukkah is... It's an important holiday, but it's a later holiday, like centuries later, and it's a particular battle that took place in the second century BC, and it's an important holiday. I'm not going to say it's not. We celebrate it, but it's, I think it's probably gained significance in America because of its proximity to another famous holiday.
Right. Like, it's not really an important holiday, but we
I don't want to say it's not really an important holiday. I'm just saying
that... Because that's the kind of thing that makes God
very
steam
angry.
And mad.
Steam and mad.
For God
real.
Doesn't like that.
He's like, I'm sorry, what'd you say about Hanukkah?
But what is God... I mean, God doesn't really have anything to do with Hanukkah.
Actually, That's rude.
Hey. That's rude. It's disrespectful. And it's also anti-Christmas. The other thing is that it is... more Walmart connect than we thought, because it's also a festival of fried food. So if it's Pentecostal Christianity and fried foods, I mean that is
South.
A Walmart.
Yeah.
Well, so Hanukkah is basically either a celebration of a military victory, of like the Jews winning over their sort of oppressors, or...
Asthma. They went on a great war with asthma.
Or it's a celebration of this very small miracle that happened when they regained the temple, and that's the famous story. They had enough oil to burn for 8 days, or actually enough for one day, but it lasted for 8 days. So there's a little God in there. Like, maybe God helped them in the war.
It's the miracle.
Yeah.
I had heard. Excuse me, if I could jump in real quick. Now, I had heard...
Yes, girl.
I had heard that the miracle was... added ipso post facto, just so that
there... This sounds like heresy right here.
Just so that there was some sort of like miraculous God thing. And really, this is about a little skirmish, a military victory, but they wanted to codify it. So they had added a miracle, and that miracle did not happen. And when it says a great miracle happened here, it did not.
No, but it did, though.
That's kind of the story of all of... I mean, all of the stories are basically like, something happened, and we just decided to call it a miracle.
I guess I'm suggesting something even more heretical, which is not that all holidays are bullshit, but that this one in particular was specifically turned into a mystical holiday because they couldn't just add a military victory to it.
But don't you think it's nicer this way? I mean, like, you want us to celebrate war? Like, this is a good... This is a nice, sweet thing to celebrate. Lights and candles and...
Mm-hmm. And military victories.
And miracles. Right. Miracles.
Miracles and fried food.
One of you went into comedy. One of you became a rabbi. What was Hanukkah like for you guys as kids? And do you celebrate it now?
I'll tell you, I resent the fact... I went to public school. So did David. But I always resented the fact when I got old enough to realize that I knew more Christmas carols than I did anything to do with Hanukkah. I mean, I know
totally.
That.
And we sang them in school.
We sang them straight up in school. Right. So, and I'm a little Jewish kid, and it's like, and now I have all these Jewish friends who are like, oh, I think the spirit of Christmas is just fun. It's just, it's not about, it's just, and it makes me like straight up, I'm like disgusted. Like, you know, they say like there's a war on Christmas. Like, I'm down with that war. You know what I mean?
You're on the front lines.
I would create, if I was going to create a war related holiday, I would create the war against Christmas holiday, which takes place right after Christmas. I would call it also Hanukkah, but with a different...
You're going to get so much hate mail for that. You're going to get death threats.
Hate mail? I mean, for where?
Yeah. You know, the conservative Christian base that listens to this podcast.
Listen, Christianity's fine and whatever, and they should celebrate Christmas, but I find it actually more insidious, the idea that like, oh no, that Christmas actually isn't a religious holiday anymore. It's actually just like, it's for everybody. That actually feels more like that they've sort of infused society with Christian values than overtly celebrating Christmas.
But let me say this. I mean, in that sense, Hanukkah is actually a perfect holiday for Americans to be celebrating. And yeah, it may have gained popularity because lonely Jews wanted to celebrate something during the wintertime. But actually, the themes of Hanukkah are all about assimilation and the fight for identity and the sort of pushback against Greek culture overtaking Hebrew culture. And so in that sense, it's exactly what Moshe's talking about. It's exactly what we sort of wonder about and deal with in the Jewish community in America. So there's is reasons other than just its time of year that it becomes a really important holiday for modern Jews.
But so, okay, tell me more about that, the assimilation thing. Like what, because the battle, what was the, what were the details of the whole battle?
Well, you know, the holiday always gets framed as this battle of the Jews against the Greeks, but it wasn't really the Jews against the Greeks. It was more Jewy Jews versus Hellenized Jews, Jews who were kind of down with the encroachment of Greek culture and looking to become more like the Greeks around them, to sort of join gymnasiums and cultivate their bodies and aesthetics. And so Hanukkah is really the story of this zealous group of Jews that wanted to kind of reclaim authentic Jewish culture. And in this case, they did. They won. They got back the temple. And so...
What's funny about it sometimes when I think about Jewish history and like the things that we champion, if you actually think about what's really happening from a sort of a postmodern, like where we are now perspective, it's like really the people you should be rooting for are the Hellenized Jews in this story. Like, really, this is like Hanukkah is a beautiful tradition where we celebrate the triumph of Sharia law over the modernists.
That's what I was thinking as well.
But
yeah, what's wrong with that, you guys? Yeah.
The rabbi speaks.
All right.
But it is interesting, right? It's like, because for me too, I feel like I'm rooting for the Maccabees, and that's the name of the family that represents the militant wing of the zealous
Jews, right?
That's right. And I'm rooting for them. But actually, what ended up happening was that the Maccabean Jews were super heavy-handed, and over the long arc of history, the Maccabean kingship line is actually kind of lame, right? They ended up not being good.
Right, yeah, they were quickly corrupted.
Huh.
But, you know, there was like this brief moment there where it's like little miracles. And
it's literally like we have a holiday where one of the tribal warlords in Afghanistan fought a battle against the reformers and was, I mean,
I think it's right. These are difficult issues to come down strongly on one side of, but again, this is the kind of tension that we feel with any particular identity in our kind of great global society. On the one hand, it takes a certain kind of, you know, zealousness to preserve your authentic tradition, your authentic faith. But on the other hand, if you take that too far, you become intolerant and you are closed to outside ideas. And
Rabbi, I'm going to be honest with you. You sound like a straight nerd right now. You know, I'm over here making a point about Sharia law and you're like, we got to be honest with each other. You know what I mean?
I'm just trying to defend Judaism against the Taliban-like characterizations that you're hurling over here.
I feel like
Maccabees are essentially ISIS. You know, same thing. No difference. Whatsoever.
I feel like that's an incredibly fair comparison that it will not inspire any controversy and no one could argue with it.
We just killed Hanukkah today.
By the way, but the thing about Hanukkah, though, on a emotional tip, it's really nice, actually. It's a beautiful – it's kind of nice to have a holiday that isn't laden with all this sort of existential angst. It's like Yom Kippur, you're like taking stock of yourself and apologizing. Rosh Hashanah, same thing. Like Passover is about slavery and freedom. And like Hanukkah basically, for me, experientially, is about straight up making latkes and having friends over and lighting some candles in my window.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's the most bang for your buck kind of holiday. I mean, especially as a religious Jew – Shabbat, Yom Kippur, all these holidays, like you have so much to do. You don't drive, like you're sort of on lockdown. Whereas Hanukkah is like, you just hang out with your friends, light some candles, like say a few prayers, like sing a few songs.
Can you listen to this podcast during Hanukkah? Or are you not allowed to?
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you're a very strict Jew, you wouldn't listen to this podcast on Shabbat or on Passover or on Yom Kippur. But Hanukkah, the podcast holiday.
According to Jewish law, could you stone an adulteress on Hanukkah? Would you be allowed to do that?
Yeah, you can even do that.
In a town square
on Hanukkah.
Situation.
And there's so much to do on Hanukkah, yeah.
Sort of a great town
like
square.
Like on Yom Kippur, you would have to wait until the next day, and it's like kind of annoying to wait. But on Hanukkah, just like go for it.
Yeah. I think that's good for Hanukkah.
Okay.
Yeah. Feel
hooray
good.
For Hanukkah.
Hooray for Hanukkah. All right, well, thanks, guys. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you. We love you, Dan.
And this was great.
This
really
was fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Is it really a holiday we should bother with, or do we just celebrate it because we need something to distract us from the onslaught that is Christmas? I asked a few Jews, some of whom will appear on later episodes of The Kibitz, what they thought about Hanukkah. Here's what they said.
Hanukkah's most definitely not bullshit. They've got three little kids that would wrestle you to the ground for suggesting that.
Well, it is a bullshit holiday. It's just Jewish Christmas. That's what it is.
Right.
I mean, let's be real about it.
Knowing that, do you celebrate it? Do you do it?
Absolutely. 100%.
Uh-huh. Hanukkah is like the movie Stripes. It always starts out amazing. Started out great. First 4 days are like insane. That's like the first two acts of Stripes. Then the third act of Stripes, you're like, what the hell is going
what
on
is
here?
Why are
what
is in happening?
And Hanukkah's like great gift, and the last five night sucks.
It's early this year, right?
It's
By the way, I have no idea. I just know people say that every year.
Oh, it's early. It is very early this year.
It's always very early. I've never heard someone go late Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Super late Hanukkah this year. Sometime in February.
I loved it as a kid. I haven't done Hanukkah in a while. My ex-husband was a non-Jew, and so I feel like a lot of Jews, I like fully embraced Christmas because it was so fun. Not the Jesus part.
It's a tricky one, actually, because my wife, even though she converted, she grew up with Christmas as well. So we've got two people who both grew up with Christmas. I'm trying to sort of push Hanukkah a little bit forward. Actually, my eldest son now and the rest of my kids will go to this Jewish school. So they're learning more about Hanukkah. But I'm trying to kind of ebb the impact of Christmas and make it more about Hanukkah. But really all that's happening is that we're doing Hanukkah and Christmas. So they're getting ridiculously spoiled.
When you think about the gifts for Hanukkah, the last three or four nights are all things that people would use in a burglary. Yeah. Like, here, son, here's some rope.
Here's a hat.
Here's a ski mask.
Here's some gloves.
Here's a turtleneck. I mean, it's all stuff you would use if you were going to
like an old time jewel heist.
I did both as a kid with two Jewish parents. We had stockings.
Okay.
There was talk of Santa Claus. There was a tree. Although we got rid of that after all, my dad thought that was too,
it's like
not Jewish.
Too much.
Yeah. But we still have the stockings. So yeah, so we do both.
Yeah, it's about families sitting together and enjoying each other.
But do you do latkes and do you do the whole Michigan?
I've tried to make a latke, not good.
Not so
no.
good.
But the candles is about as far as, is about the level that we get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the prayer or just a candle?
With the prayer. Yeah. We get the old iPad out. Type in Hanukkah blessings. Uh-huh.
I do like Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I think lighting.
Do you get religious about it? Here's the only thing I don't like about
Hanukkah is the game of dreidel. Super overrated on that game. Because here's the rules of dreidel. If you roll and you get a gimel, a G, you scoop up all the candy, game over. And of course, it's money. Like they had to make that money. Like, couldn't they have made it something else? Like, Jews farm. Like, we know how to farm. Israel was based on like agriculture. Like, why couldn't it have been like
chocolate plows,
chocolate hose?
Yeah,
nobody would want to
chocolate hose.
Chocolate hose would be a different game.
We are in downtown Los Angeles at the Grand Central Market, and we are heading over to Wexler's Deli to try out Michael Wexler's personal favorite latke recipe for Hanukkah. If you haven't been to Wexler's, it is known as the best pastrami in Los Angeles, according to LA Weekly. And Jonathan Gold, the food critic, said, if there's a better version of lox and bagels in Los Angeles, I have yet to taste it. For whatever it's worth, I agree. It is delicious. All right, so what are we starting with here?
So we've got some Yukon Gold potatoes. We have an egg, a little bit of flour, onion, salt and pepper, pretty basic recipe. My only trick to it, I guess, is that I shred the potatoes and the onions, and then I blanch them in water for about a minute and a half. And just that little bit of cook right there gives it like a nice creaminess, which I really like.
So that's, you're blanching them in like a boiling water?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, this recipe, like I grew up with kind of two different recipes. On my mom's side of the family is more like a thicker shred, like kind of hash brownie with like the crispies around the edges. And on my dad's side was more of like the blended pancake style. So mine is somewhere in between. I do like multiple kind of different texture in there. I chop some of it really fine, grate some of it really fine. Some of it's like a coarser grate. So, and then I mix them all together. So you got kind of best of all worlds.
Nice. It keeps the parents happy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So we're lucky here because we have this griddle and flat top, and it actually works really nice for latkes. So good amount of oil down. And I don't like to push them down too much because then they get too thin. So they need to have some volume to them.
So you can actually hear them. Let's hear them sizzling. And what kind of oil are you using?
It's just canola oil. Any neutral vegetable oil, canola, grapeseed, that kind of thing works nice for this.
When I think of latkes, I think of kind of deep frying them in a, you know, a huge pan full of oil.
Which you can definitely do that too. I like this because it's what we have here, number one. And two, it just like, this keeps a really even temperature using a griddle like this, which I really like.
I feel like this goes in line with your general vibe, is that you're not trying to kind of reinvent something or do a real modern take on these classic foods. You're really going, that is just a beautiful golden brown. I have to interrupt myself to say that is just, that looks amazing. So your approach is really kind of do it old school and do it the best version of the old school.
I mean, that sort of defines what Wexler's Deli is all about. I mean, our idea here is to, you know, take all the ego out of it. It's not, you know, the chefy hand that's trying to reinvent and do all that kind of thing. We're not about reinventing or remaking. What we're really about is taking these Jewish deli classics and saying, I want to make the best version of them. And for people to eat them and say, wow, this is the best pastrami sandwich I ever had. These are the best latkes I ever had in this case, hopefully. You know, it's funny, like every year somebody comes around, they're like, give us a recipe for a creative latke, you know? And of course, everybody's seen the sweet potato latke, the zucchini latke, the beet latke. It's probably not that creative at this point anymore. And at the end of the day, when you sit down for Hanukkah, you just really want some really good latkes. At least that's what I want. So that's kind of the driving focus behind Wexler's, and the same thing with these latkes.
And, you know, there's the classic debate of applesauce versus sour cream.
Yeah.
Where do you stand?
I mean, I'm definitely a sour cream guy first and foremost, or even a creme fraiche guy. So we're gonna taste these today with a couple of different toppings that I'm gonna do for you. One just sort of naked as is. One we're gonna do with creme fraiche and caviar, and one that we're gonna do with some pastrami and mustard. So that's where I guess I like to go off the train a little bit, is maybe in some of the toppings. But you get still the classic latkes at the bottom of it. I like applesauce. I like it with the creme fraiche, but if I had to choose between two, I'm definitely going with the sour cream creme fraiche thing.
I fully agree. And adding the caviar, I think, is a very very nice touch.
You add caviar to anything.
Yeah, or pastrami. Your pastrami is amazing. I snuck in here on Saturday. It was packed. I've had the lox and bagel here, which is amazing. But I tried the pastrami for the first time, and it really was... It reminded me of that scene in Ratatouille where the critic eats the ratatouille at the end, and it, like, you go inside his mind and see his childhood experience of tasting ratatouille for the first time.
Yeah.
And that was what it was like for me.
I think that's what's so wonderful about what we do here, and it's part of the reason why we stay so traditional in our food. I mean, it happens on a daily basis where we'll get somebody who will come in here and ask to meet me or my business partner Mike and say, I just need to tell one of you guys, I smelled it, or I've been into that sandwich, or I tasted that lox, and I was brought back to, you know, L.A., Chicago, Brooklyn, whatever, and in my grandmother's kitchen, and I have the memories that came through, and it's really cool. I mean, you know, food has a very unique ability to have that powerful effect, that with one bite we can be transported back to another time in our life almost instantaneously. And there's very few things that can really... do that to you. So it's special to be a part of that experience for so many people that were able to do that.
All right, so what's happening with these latkes now?
We're just waiting to get the right kind of color, the right kind of crisp on these. And I think, you know, what's important with latkes is that you want a very deep golden brown, right? A light golden brown will be nice for a minute, but then two bites into it, it's going to get kind of soggy and that crust isn't going to be there anymore. So I really like to take the time to develop that nice golden brown. And when you do them at home, I would recommend, I mean, I think a lot of people sometimes get the oil so hot that the latkes cook for 2 minutes and they're done, and then you eat them and they're kind of soggy. You really want it to take its time to be able to crisp in the oil and be able to cook. And, you know, especially like the potatoes need time to cook as well.
And so what is that, like a medium heat, medium low?
Kind of a medium heat. You don't want too high. You want just sort of like a medium to medium high heat. All right, so let's start plating these up for you.
All
right. So I always like to have, because we're obviously cooking this in a lot of oil and grease, I like to have a towel to sort of soak up any of that excess. So for the pastrami one, I think we're going to do a little bit of this Beaver Sweet Hot Mustard. Then I'm just going to lightly brush on the top here.
So now this is the a tray of lox. It's all hand sliced, right?
Hand sliced, right here in house.
Hand sliced sounds like one of those adjectives that make it taste better. But what is why is it better to be hand sliced?
It does definitely sound like one of those adjectives, but it's a real thing. And the reason why is that we're able to get it so thin, it gives it this really beautiful silky texture that you just kind of can't achieve out of any machine. And that's something that we really like around here.
I can actually see through the salmon that he's placed on top of some. Is that creme fraiche or sour cream?
That's creme fraiche.
Okay, beautiful. Oh, and that's, he's just like sprinkling some black caviar on the top. And my mouth is watering. I cannot wait to dive into this. Looks so good. Wow. So these look, they're like, they're probably about a quarter of an inch thin. They're very thin. They're golden brown. They're incredibly crispy.
I think you should start with this one, just kind of on its own, and see just the taste of the latke itself. Then maybe go to this one, and then to the pastrami.
Okay, so he's pointing me towards the middle one here is just the plain, unadorned latke. It's got a very creamy center. I can see it's kind of still juicy inside. Hmm. I'm having a ratatouille moment. Like,
good. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh my god, that is so good. That is really it's the perfect latke. All right, I'm cutting
you can
in.
Also pick it up and bite it.
Oh yeah, I'll just pick it up. What am I doing? All right, so this is the latke with creme fraiche, hand cut smoked salmon, and caviar. Hmm.
That's probably my preferred way to eat it, either plain or like this, so you can't really go wrong with that.
I'm in heaven here. All right, now we're going on to the mother load here. This is the latke topped with Wechsler's infamous pastrami. The mustard, a little sweetness of the mustard,
a little sweet and spicy mustard.
Yeah, just against the smokiness and the peppery pastrami. Wow. That is a thing of beauty. Well done. Congratulations.
And I should mention also that if you want to go this lox and caviar route at home, we're delivering the lox now, which is good. You know, a lot of people are like, hey, I don't want to come all the way downtown. It's a pain in the butt. So now you can get it to your house. We have it all online on our website, delivering through Caviar. So we're doing like half pound packages and bagels, sandwiches, kind of whatever you want.
All right. Well, keep up the amazing work. It's the best pastrami. I think it's the best pastrami I've ever had.
You enjoyed it. I'm really, really happy you came by.
All right. Thanks so much. And everybody come down to Wechsler's. It'll blow your mind.
Now the advice show where you call in and you give advice, because really, what's more Jewish than giving advice? Please welcome the legendary ladies of comedy, Rana and Beverly.
I'm sorry, Beverly, do you understand what's happening?
I'm looking at Instagram. Look, is that funny?
Those are one of those chickens.
But if it was on someone's wish list for Amazon and they're laughing, they say, what the hell was on my wish list? That's the suggestions.
Hello?
Hello, is this Aliza?
It is.
Hi, Aliza. It's Auntie Beverly.
Hello, ladies.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Oh, my God. I mean,
I hate to tell you, Aliza, we're sitting here with the most handsome Jewish guy you've ever seen.
I don't know if you're single, if you're a lesbian, or what.
I am single. Hello.
Okay, are you a lesbian?
Not at the moment, no.
Your generation is very fluid. You're all pansexual.
He even has a shirt I think was dry cleaned.
I hate to tell you.
Nobody irons anything anymore. Nobody irons anything
Rana,
anymore.
I already asked him if he was single. He said he was not.
Who cares me what he said? He's not married.
Anyway, you've got a sexy voice, Aliza. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, so we have a question for you. So
we're going to ask you, we want your advice.
I need
for a
your
change.
Advice.
How do you feel about
okay.
that?
Is that all right with
all
you?
Right, I'm ready. I'm good with that.
Okay, this is Hanukkah oriented. So my question for you is, I have children in my life. It's Hanukkah. Okay, you understand? It's Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm saying this is a holiday for everyone. And my niece, Shira, thinks that it's a holiday just for children. I said, but we've exchanged gifts every year up until the day you had babies. okay? Because you're younger than me, and you're like a child in my life. My niece, Shira, now she has four children. Lenny's the baby, still breastfeeding, but, you know, I don't want to get
not a baby. Yeah.
Anyway, I said...
old enough to eat a steak, but still breastfeeding.
And I said, well, first of all, not only do I expect a gift from you, Shira, but it would be nice if you bought little presents from your children, you know, and put a little note on them, said, "Dear Auntie Beverly, happy Hanukkah from Karsten."
Beverly's upset that there's no reciprocity.
That's what I'm
asking
you.
Why is she buying gifts for other people and they're not buying for her just because she's old?
My question for you
is, she wants to know if she should feel that way.
Is it just for children? The Christians seem to give gifts all over the goddamn place. So I'm asking you.
I can so relate to this question because in my family, we have 8 nephews. And as soon as the babies started coming along, the grown-ups stopped getting gifts.
See, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. It's bullshit.
And it became all about them.
Yeah. God damn it.
And for a while, we just let it happen, and then we realized it was a problem. Because you're right. There should be, I don't know if the kids need to give you gifts, but there should be a grown-up gift.
Why shouldn't they?
Why
can't they cash in an Israel bond and buy somebody a gift?
How are they never going to learn? How are they ever going to learn that you got to give? You got to give to receive. It's a give and take. Give and take. But take for
tat. They could buy you a tree in Israel. That would be something.
It would be something. Just something. I need something, God damn it. All right, well, you agree with me.
Well,
that's good advice.
In my family, this is what we did. We did still buy kids the gifts, and the grown-ups do, like, secret Santa Hanukkah Harry thing.
Oh.
So that every grown-up gets a gift.
That's not a bad idea.
The kids get a bajillion gifts.
Not a bad idea.
What's the monetary value?
Get something.
What's the monetary value on the secret Harry?
It's the high, low.
Hidden Harry.
Because
low.
The
how
starring
low?
Artist involved.
$10, $20?
It's $25.
Well, that's not terrible.
You know, I think that's terrific because Beverly and I always exchange gifts.
Yes, we do.
And we have never set a limit before. So what happens is Beverly will end up getting a cashmere sweatsuit from me. And I'll end up getting like a desk ornament or a mouse pad.
I thought you were collecting snow globes.
Yeah, something
well,
like that.
Sometimes you have to accept your friends where they are and lower your expectations.
Aliza, this is wonderful advice. Beverly, this year we'll do a $20 limit. I love it.
No.
I'll get myself a sweatsuit.
No, it's personal choice. Personal choice.
Right. Thank you, Aliza.
You're welcome. I love you, ladies.
We love you too. Happy everything. I hope you get
happy
a penis. I hope
you
get a penis in your vagina for the holidays. That's what I hope.
Aliza, go back to your life.
Goodbye.
All right, love you guys.
Thank
love
you.
Goodbye.
Oh, she was very cute.
Yeah, that was great.
She's married. I don't want to break your heart.
Damn.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello. Is this Catherine Strack?
Oh.
It is.
Oh, boy. Catherine, I have a question I'm dying to know. Now, this is going to be interesting because you're coming at it from the other side. I assume you're not Jewish or you're a German Jew. Which one?
No, I'm not Jewish.
Okay. But then you'll be able to answer this question for me, okay?
Well, what about Catherine? Where are you? Who are you?
I'm outside Chicago.
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Where do you mind? You don't want to tell us specifically?
No, it's fine. I'm in Schaumburg.
Oh, sure. Okay. And, I had a cousin that lived very near there once.
Can I
ask what Catherine does? I just want to know if she's qualified to give advice.
Okay, fine. But my question doesn't require her to be qualified.
Okay. Catherine, what do you do? Can I ask?
I work in law enforcement, in administration.
Are you kidding me? Are you wearing a uniform right now? Are you a lesbian?
I'm not, and I'm not.
Really? But I imagine you had handcuffs.
Administration?
Oh, is that
she
so?
Must love all of the fun stuff we say about the police on the podcast.
I love the police.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about the police. I thank God for the police. The police are doing God's work, and they're being paid nothing for it. So you know what? Thank God for the police. And if people are up to no good, then they're up to no good, and that's their goddamn problem. Keep your hands in your pockets, people. You ready?
Actually, take your hands out of your pockets.
No, keep
when you put your hand in your pocket, you run into a problem.
I'm not going to get involved in this conversation because you know something?
All right.
Okay, in the civil rights movement, the Jews and the blacks marched side by side, Catherine. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that.
All right.
In the meantime, my question for you is, do you know the difference, okay, when you see Hanukkah being advertised everywhere, yeah, along with the Christmas chazarai, do you notice that there's two spellings? There's Hanukkah, H-A-N-N-N-N-K-K-K-K-H-H-H-A, and then there's the other one, Hanukkah, C-H-A-N-U-K-A-H-H. Have you noticed that?
I have.
Okay. Now, I know what my impression is when I see the difference. It's because Americans don't like to say ha, which is the correct pronunciation. So I'm asking you, do you think it's appropriate to Americanize Hanukkah?
I just want to clear something up, though. It's not only because people don't want to say C-H, it's because it reads better with an H-H. It reads better with alliteration.
What are you talking about?
When you're putting up a decoration, it reads better, Happy Hanukkah with an H.
I have synesthesia.
And I want you to know that I've always been a C-H, and just last year I switched to only H.
Why the switch?
I don't know. Well, that's what I'm asking. But I'm asking something different.
Well, that's why I'm asking Catherine. What do you think is more authentic? What are your impressions when you see it spelled out? Do you have any, does it register at all that there's two different spellings? Is my first part of the question. Well,
I think I know that there are two different spellings because I'm a student of history. That was my major in college. So I think maybe that's why I have seen it before, maybe not in advertising, but I think that people are drawn to alliterations, Happy Hanukkah, the H-H. Also,
well, you're just repeating my answer.
The community, if they see it spelled with a C-H, maybe they're not going to know and they're going to pronounce it Chanukah.
But were you growing up, wasn't it Chanukah when you were growing up? When you were growing up, did you ever see the H-H or is that new? Do you think
I feel like I remember H-H? It as the H-H when I see
What's
like a decoration.
Oh, happy.
You
happy,
must
happy.
Be very young, okay? Because it wasn't always like that. And your history, you got to update your history. Know your history. The Holocaust killed 6 million Jews and a lot of other people, a lot of gays, probably a lot of police officers type people, that women in police uniforms that you work with.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Understand? So know your history. Watch your documentaries.
Is that history with a H or CH?
It should be with a CH. H-H. This is what I'm saying.
History.
Do me a
history.
Favor. I want to hear it out of a shiksa mouth. Say Chanukah. Say it.
Can you say it again?
Chanukah. Say it and spray it.
Hanukkah.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Pretty good.
It wasn't great.
I mean,
it was
for
okay.
a shiksa, that's
I'm
not,
impressed.
Not bad.
I'm impressed.
Can I tell you something, dear? I love you. God bless you.
Love you, girl.
Love
kiss,
you. Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss. Kiss. Thank you for listening to us.
Happy Hanukkah.
Oh. Whoops.
Oh, well.
We lost her. That's all right.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Nana?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Dan.
Hi, honey. I know.
Hello, Jan.
This you're on the phone here with my friends Rana and Beverly, and they're going to ask you some questions.
Okay,
Jan, we are so excited to be talking to you. Were you listening to Tony Bennett a second ago?
I was listening.
Isn't he sexy still after all these years?
Oh, yeah, and he's 87, I think.
Listen,
you still have a chance, Jan. You still have a chance.
Yeah, you could jump out and go with Tony Bennett.
Jan, can I ask you a question about Hanukkah? Can I ask you a latke question?
Okay, you can start asking me.
Okay, now, Jan, I assume, as a wonderful Jewish mother, that you used to make, you probably made over 10,000 latkes in your lifetime so far.
What did you say, honey?
Oh, we wanted to know about your secret for latkes, for making latkes. Do you think you should shred the potato or like blend it up and puree it?
Shred it or grate it, you mean?
Yeah.
Grate it? Grate it?
The old-fashioned people grated it. The new people shred it. The new Jews.
Which do you prefer, the new Jew or the old Jew?
Well, I think I like either one because I like potato latkes. I used to make them shredding them.
Do you have any good Jewish jokes, Nana?
Yeah, I sure do.
I know you do.
Did you hear about the Jewish parochial school?
No. Tell us about it.
It's called, our mother of perpetual guilt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's fabulous. All right, well.
You like that?
That's good.
It's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And the other joke is, have you ever read I Was a Teenage Jew?
No.
No.
By Jesus Christ.
Oh, that is wonderful.
You like those two jokes?
I do.
They're great.
Why can't you perform in a comedy club? Go to the improv.
I'm too old.
No, you're not. Never.
Never too old.
Tony Bennett can open for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jan, how old are you, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, I'm 95 going on 96.
Oh, my God. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Boy, are you sharp. You are so funny.
Well, my best thing is to laugh and tell jokes.
Did Connie...
That keeps me going. Are you through now with me?
Yeah.
Yep, I think so.
Yep.
I'll give you a call later. Thank you, Nana.
Oh, you're welcome. You're most welcome, because... You're my second favorite grandson. My first one lives in New York, the oldest one, your older brother. And I love both of you, but I loved him first because he was born 4 years before you.
That's fair. That's fair. But who calls
but
you more?
I love you too. Anyway, did you hear from Jessica?
I did. Yeah, I'll call you later. We'll talk about that.
Okay. She's so fabulous.
She is fabulous.
Okay, sweetie.
Love you. I'll talk
have
to you later.
Have a lovely day, you guys.
All right. Okay. Kiss, Jan. You're wonderful. Keep it up.
Thank you, honey. I wish I could go out dancing, but I can't.
Oh, my
God. I used to love to dance.
Oh.
Now I stand in one and just hop off one leg and then the other. Not very good. Anyway, the best I can do, every day is a blessing.
Aww.
Even with or without latkes.
Well, that's good
maybe
advice.
Dan will bring you some latkes.
Well, it's a different story than my grandmother or even my mother, but the Jewish traditions will live forever because the Jews are so special.
As soon as we get rid of the Muslims,
anyway,
it'll be fine.
I just wish they weren't chosen for aggravation and anti-Semitism.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's none of that left. No more anti-Semitism.
All right. Kiss, Jan.
Okay, honey.
Bye. Oh, yeah, that was Nana.
She's wonderful.
She needs her own podcast.
She's wonderful. She is so sharp.
She's very sharp.
With it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she's adorable.
Yeah.
All right. Kiss.
Thanks,
thank you for having us.
Thanks so much. You're beautiful.
Okay.
Finally, a kid walks into a bar. Today's bar mitzvah story comes from the amazingly hilarious twin comedians, the Sklar Brothers.
We are the Sklar Brothers. We have a podcast here at Earwolf called Sklarbro Country.
He just said, identify yourself. Don't give the whole, like, what we have and
here's
what we're doing.
Here's some TV shows that we've been on.
Stop.
Here's some of the other stuff we've done.
All right, okay.
They're going to edit this out anyway.
Right,
it's not going to be in it.
Who
cares?
I'm sure. I hope he leaves it in.
Now that I said that, he's going to leave it in.
I hope he leaves it in.
I'm Jason Sklar. He's Randy Sklar. And we had bar mitzvahs, but we did it together. So it was a John Benet mitzvah.
A John Benet mitzvah.
Because you're twins.
Yes.
Because we dressed up like little cowboys. And then both of us were murdered.
Hey, come on.
Joking.
That's not funny.
No, it's true.
We have children.
All right. So we had a B'nai Mitzvah, John B'nai Mitzvah, and where we did together, we read the Haftor together, we studied together with Chazen Lissik,
yes,
our cantor. He was kind of like this Pavarotti-like guy, French guy, Leon Lissik. He was kind of like this old
Leon Lissik. We always wanted to like do like some power
like truck and track,
like as if like he
this Saturday, Leon Lissik.
He unscrolls the Torah of your heart.
Leah Lissick, followed by Rush.
Yeah. He was really fantastic. And he totally out of touch, but he had a kid our age.
Shmuel Lissick, who then went on to become Sammy.
But they all, you know, that was part of it. We studied really hard. I actually loved
it. I loved it. For us, there was a very performative element to it in that we...
Maybe that was the beginning of us wanting to be on stage and talk.
You know, we had a speech and we gave a speech. I don't think we were that funny in the speech.
Yeah, were there jokes?
We had a
what's the deal with Talises?
Yeah, exactly.
And who are the ad wizards who came up with that one?
Exactly. But we were into comedy back then, which strikes me as it was weird that we didn't even
think to try and put a comedy.
It was kind of just the precursor to us really exploring that avenue. But I think we really liked the idea of standing up in front of everybody and delivering the Haftorah and the Torah. And there was something exciting and really cool about it. But we had the party afterwards at the synagogue in the auditorium where that was. And it was a really nice part. It was really fun. We had the candle lighting ceremony.
Where everyone does like that. We didn't do poems, though. We were anti-poem.
We were anti-poem. That was like the big
thing. Because everyone would do a poem like, when we were young, we used to play, but now you live so far away. Bubby and Zeta come up and light the third candle.
We didn't want to do that. But we did have like a baseball kind of theme, I feel like, throughout it.
Which, it was fun. I have very fond memories of our bar mitzvah.
Yeah, it was really, it was a good time. And our folks, it wasn't the ritziest one. We had friends who like would have their parties and whatnot at like Meadow Brook Country Club in St. Louis or whatever.
I mean, but it was St. Louis. It wasn't like New York where like, I know like where Nicki Minaj
will like come in on a jet ski and like do three songs and rub her boobs up against some of the kids. I mean,
or like some kid will be carried in like on an elephant, like dressed like the Pharaoh, which is also weird because like
he was a person who oppressed the Jews. And now are you trying to say that with your bar mitzvah, you're going to oppress all the other Jews that are there?
Yeah,
one really thinks the theme out all the way.
Yeah. It's like the Jewish version of my awesome Sweet 16. That's what a bar mitzvah kind of is.
You know, I mean, unless his parents came to him as the Pharaoh and in the process said to him, to the Pharaoh, which is their son, let my son's childhood go.
Yeah. And then there it went.
And so would you do anything differently if you could go back and do your bar mitzvah again?
Nope. I would not. I kind of loved it, and I loved
it. It was pretty low-key.
Be a little funnier in our speech, but it was, you know, for as far as bar mitzvahs go, it was low-key, and I know it was probably expensive for our parents who didn't have a ton of money, but it didn't break the bank. It wasn't outrageous to the point. It felt very much in touch with who we were, and I'm glad. I'm glad it wasn't over the top, and I think our friends had fun.
And so you both have kids.
Yeah. Yes. My daughter's like almost we're starting to like come to the age that we have to start thinking about her bat mitzvah. Wow. And so she's got to start learning and getting that. And she really wants to have it, which I'm excited. We're kind of taking our cue from her a little bit without pushing her to it because we've known many kids who, when they were pushed into the Judaism and pushed into the stuff and the spirituality and whatnot, they kind of immediately resisted. And the second they could get out, it was like, second they're out of it, gone. Thank you, but no thanks. I will choose my own path and this is how I do it. So we're trying to let them come to it the way they want to and on their own. And I think learning another language in Hebrew is kind of cool. I think being able to do that stuff is kind of cool. And I think there's a way to do it that isn't so didactic and feel like out of touch. There's like a way to do it. And we're so far, they're 10 and 8. There's like a happiness with which they sort of engage with this thing. So I'm excited.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you.
Right.
Get out of here.
Thanks, man.
All right. That is it for episode 1 of The Kibitz. I'd like to thank our guests, Micah Wexler, David and Moshe Kasher, Rana and Beverly, the Sklar Brothers, as well as Richard Brim, Josh Howie, Joel Stein, Laurel Braitman, and of course, my Nana. If you liked Moshe Kasher's comedy, please come check him out at the San Francisco Punchline Wednesday through Saturday, December 8th through 12th. And if you like David Kasher's rabbi-ing, please check out his podcast at parshanut.com. That's parshanut.com. Rana and Beverly will be doling out their brilliant comedy at UCB Franklin on Sunday, December 14th at 7:30 p.m. Please check them out at ranaandbeverly.com. The Sklar Brothers are going to be at the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix, Arizona on December 12th. Go check them out. They're awesome. This episode was produced by me, Dan Crane, with Adam Sachs, Sarah DeLeo, and David Jargowski, with engineering by Brett Morris. Our main theme is courtesy of Nous Non Plus. Special thanks to Amelia Klein, Robin Kramer, Earwolf, and of course, Reboot. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at KibitzPod, and email us your comments at kibitzpod@gmail.com. Happy Hanukkah from the Kibitz, a project of Reboot.